Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about the Cleveland Clinic fire. This is a story that script that was submitted to us by our good friend Jason Dykes. Of course, Jason's been a longtime friend of the show. He's part of the Austin Mafia, as they are known, and he submitted this script, so it's a pretty good story, so we're going to get to it in just a minute. But before we do, I'd like to remind you that we are a true crime comedy podcast. We sometimes use adult language. I know that's hard. Well, we're really talking about Brandy, but
yeah,
you will hear a crossword from Brandy from time to time, because she's basically a bitter woman, wouldn't you agree, Colonel?
She's not a well-adjusted woman to me. I don't know about bitter, but she's not a person you want in your vicinity.
Wow.
We love you, Devil. You know we love you.
Yeah. Because you know a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think
you're just one of
Brandy, but
right? No, we love the devil. We
do
just
love her.
Know her limitations.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't invite her to somewhere important where you'd be around.
I was at your wedding.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well.
Yeah.
You know.
It's on film. Yeah. I signed things.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? You know what? You didn't know, devil.
I signed things. I don't know happened. I could be married to you. I don't know what I signed.
Because you were with my witness, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Timmy gave me a little tranquilizer dart and said, if she acts up, put it down.
And I did just fine. Thank you very much.
Brandy, I had a little microphone on my shirt sleeve. And I would just bring it to my mouth and say, pull her, Chuck. And he was willing to, he was ready to have you escorted from the premises.
From the park, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm you know, not afraid of Barney Fife coming to get me to take me off the premises. That's okay.
It wouldn't be the first time. Let's make
right,
that clear.
Exactly. Right, you know,
you thought those black guys in black suits were just people Timmy used to work with?
Well, no, I knew better than that.
They were there just for you, Devil.
But yeah,
the guys with the
you got to remember that day I was ready to throw some hands. So you know.
Well, what would distinguish that day from any other day, Brandy?
Yeah, but it could have been really.
Exactly.
Because that day I woke up and didn't choose violence. The violence chose me.
I also want to thank our good friend Thad, who puts all of this together with his editing and makes it sound good. So thank you, Thad. And let me do introductions. I'm very honored to introduce this lady. She is... despite her violent past and despite her inappropriate behavior and sordid, She has become known, oddly enough, Colonel, as Brandy the Benevolent. Not sure how she got that name.
Because I'm a giver.
I think it's irony, Timmy. I think it's irony.
Why don't they call you Slim?
Yeah, like calling me tiny.
Yeah.
So let me introduce her. She's a lady who's beloved throughout the land. A lady who we no longer say she's pill popping, Colonel, because you know she did have She had a long stint in rehab. Not sure it did any good, but you know.
We told her to go to rehab. What'd you say, Double?
No.
The very beloved Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, I almost took a nap during that introduction. This was so fucking long. I'm good. We're all hanging in there. The boys are good. Everybody's just hanging in there.
And share with our listeners the good news.
I got a job with Target in HR. So I will be...
You're going to be representing the Target?
I am. Going to the motherland.
You're going to be hiring people.
Okay, Timmy. Now, Brandy in HR.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to think this through. This is much like when big companies hire the hackers.
Yeah.
Who have broken into the system and pilfered everything.
Yeah.
Because
so you're
Brandy
saying that Brandy is being...
by the rules.
Yeah. They're saying Brandy was hired... because she was such a problem employee.
Well, she was hired because she knows how to break all the rules.
Yeah.
So, well, she you know, it wasn't that she was following the rules.
Right.
She was one of the black hat hires, Timmy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense now, Colonel.
I was thinking about that. And fuck off. How about that? Okay.
So, Brandy, what else is new with you besides being among the employee?
Timmy, hold on. That's a warning.
What? We got a warning.
I believe that's...
What the fuck was that?
I think it's telling
us... Is that an Amber Alert, or are you okay there, Colonel? Should we...
No, it was the Brandy time alert.
So you're saying we are well past the...
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it.
Siri is saying
it.
It
just came up on the computer.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, Brandy, it was fun talking to you.
No.
It was a bit... And Brandy time went a little long this week.
Well, FYI, I have had a request for What the Fuck Theater, which evidently I'm now calling it. When I do these.
Why don't you do that on TikTok?
I don't know how to use the TikTok.
It can't
I don't
be
know
that hard.
Things.
No, I can
download
show
it and hit record.
Yeah, just hit record.
Steve Jobs.
I mean, you know, still post it. Still post it on the history.
Yeah, but you know what though? But I don't
Facebook
post
group,
it for everyone. I just post it for the group.
Well, you should post it for everyone. It's funny.
Ugh.
No, and, you know, I'm not a big fan, but you're funny.
You're not a big fan of me?
Yeah, but you're funny.
Oh, thank you.
You're funny, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a request for Trailer Park Shark. So,
Brandy.
Ooh, that would be
you have got to do The Well.
The Well?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That is it's the most depressing movie you will ever see in your life. You know, it's Brandon Fraser. Because
The Whale. No, I've heard it's very good, actually.
He's great in it. He's great in it, but oh my God, it's so fun. You want to split your wrist halfway through it.
Depressing. Well, then I'm not watching that. I got enough problems. But let's say
you can make it really funny. You really can. Leanne said, you know, Brandy has to cover this.
So when it comes out, I mean, Cocaine Bear just came out, so I'm very eager to watch that. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, Cocaine Bear's got to be good.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear. I mean, Trailer Park Shark. I think I've got some kind of, is it Rocktopussy that's saved on the? Yeah, Rocktopussy saved on our queue of bad movies.
Well,
so, I mean, I've got the lineup is coming together.
You got to do Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. We'll
no, it'll be perfect for your show.
And let me tell you what else I think I'm going to do. I need to write this down.
Andy. Get Andy there, Chuck, to write this down.
Write this down.
Is Andy with us this week, Chuck, or did you fire him?
Danny. I got rid of Andy because remember Andy did that Mormon moron tabernacle choir thing on me.
Easy.
I had to let him go. There was a lot of blowback on that, Timmy.
Well,
so.
But now, who do you have, Colonel? Is you got Randy? Or?
I got Danny.
Danny. Okay, Danny.
Danny?
Yeah. Do we have to call
Danny's non-binary with really big boobs?
Okay. So can you ask Andy to write this down for Brandy?
Uh huh.
Danny, write this down, please.
I mean, you go through personal assistance more than, you know, like Greta Garbo did.
Well, Danny just likes to wear jumpsuits. I don't know about the non-binary part, but she wears jumpsuits. And she looks like she's from, looks like she's going to work on my car after this. But
well, we're happy to have you on board, Andy. So, Danny. So anyway, Brandy, people love your movie reviews. And I think you should do them on TikTok. I mean, obviously you want to post them on the History Dweebs Facebook group, but you should do them on TikTok because they're really funny. Really, really funny.
I know. It's, actually, it was.
But, you know, that's according to me, and apparently by this podcast, I don't really have a sense of humor, but I think they were very funny.
The request to do Trailer Park Shark was from Ballinger because she evidently is showing them to all the people at work.
Is she so, really?
At her new work, yeah. So
well, ready. She won't be there long, I suppose.
Oh, she'll be fine. Wait, why? She'll be good.
Well, it depends on where she's working, really.
She's fine.
I'm just kidding. Leave all right.
You know, Tim.
Let's let's move on and this, you know, I want to say this, and we do happy birthdays here all the time, and you know when we got, and yeah, of course we can't do them all, and we forget people and all that, but it was so sad this week when Bridget Clavey's name popped up on my
app. Oh, was
you know when you lose someone they pop up on your, you know, happy birthday, Facebook notices.
But happy birthday, Bridget.
Yeah, she was such a lovely person. And and you are very much missed, Bridget. Never forget that time in, was it Indianapolis?
Indianapolis.
She came into it. We were in our hotel
like
room.
Like ice.
Oh,
like
my
ice.
God. She was
banging
a star. I mean, she was banging on a door. We was having a little party in our hotel room. Was it? It might have been my room, I think. And man, she came in like a boss. She was so funny. So we're thinking about you, Bridget. God bless you.
Yeah.
Let me introduce a man who is Brandy, who is a best-selling author. A man who is known for his. He's known for giving good advice. He is a
no, he's not.
In these troubled times. He is someone we turn to. He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
As I mentioned, he's a best-selling author. Of course, with his... Now, I understand, Colonel, there may be a movie on how to make love to a woman.
There's not.
Well, we just completed an audio book of how
an audio book
to a woman.
Yeah, I think that the lovely Nina is voicing that, I believe.
Don't drag her into it.
She is.
Don't drag her into your mess of shit.
Well, she's voicing. She's
award-winning.
Award-winning. She won an Emmy, and she is winning. Now she's nominated for a Webby.
Yep.
So congratulations to our beloved Nina. And she's also going to win an award for voicing How to Make Love to a Woman.
No. Leave her out of it.
I believe she'll get that.
She's big time now. Let's not associate her with our bullshit. Settle down.
And we're gonna. We're in talks with Matthew McConaughey right now, Timmy.
To play you in How to Make Love to a Woman.
Mm-hmm. He already said no.
I was thinking Woody Harrelson, but I guess they're brothers, aren't they?
Really. They're not. They but I thought Danny DeVito was going to play Chuck.
Joe Pesci.
Hey, Brandy, I want you to get this visual in your head. You wake up in the middle of the night. And Danny DeVito's been in, you know, he's been in the bathroom, and now he comes out. He's got his robe open, and he's got a big old Woody. Yeah.
Well, and you know what? That little bastard, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
He is.
But he's coming at you, Brandy. He's coming at you with a Woody.
No, he's not. I mean,
what would you say, Brandy?
He's absolutely not coming at me with much of anything. It's not a thing that's ever gonna. I don't even want to think about it.
What do you think? Do you think he's well hung?
Ask Chuck how he's been. I don't want. Just ask him how he's been.
Well, the Colonel, he's been known as a. He's been known for his generosity. He gives, and gives, and gives.
He absolutely does not.
The very honorable.
He called
the
Yoda
the
podcasting in a review, Timmy. Nope. The Yoda podcast.
Nope.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
I hope we haven't squeezed your time, you know, with all that brandy time.
I know.
Well, I mean, he's not good.
A lot of time.
I'm not good, Timmy. So I'm glad I was sitting down. Let's see what's going on.
What I've found out, to me, there's something about me, and this really happened to me the other day.
Yeah.
Is I have a habit of people just opening up and sharing all their feelings with me, and I don't know what it is about me.
I don't either, because I have never had that.
Compelled to do this.
I have never had that compulsion. And I've known
you. Well, you got to have feelings first, devil.
That's not true.
If you ever had some feelings... So, you hugged me one time, devil. You hugged me. Admit it.
Yeah, one time.
I'm going to say it in an open forum. You hugged me.
One time. I was weak.
Unprompted. Unprompted, you hugged me.
It was weak. I was weak. I was weak.
Yes.
I think
she's went through rehab.
Put your head on my shoulder.
I think I was sick that day.
Oh, is this when the fireman had to take you away?
Oh, my God.
Was it that day? No, she called the fireman 3 times that day.
I did not.
Those guys showed up.
No, you know what?
You called 911. This was when we were working together, and Brandy
because they thought I was having a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, but you wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was having a panic attack. But here's the thing. This is what I want to say. So, you know, this old lady, you know, a while ago, this old lady falls off the back porch step at work, okay?
Yeah.
So they call 911, and the truck pulls up, and it was like every Chippendales... You know, any rookie that was thinking about doing, they all pile off this truck.
Young, 22-year-old, buff guys.
Yes, all of them. And of course, you know, the thirsty bitches at work, of course, are all lined up out the back door watching them. But, I mean, this just, all this hotness keeps getting off there. I call 911, and I get the fuckers that are getting ready to retire, that are pissed off, that don't, you know... That this is their last run before they...
They're bitter.
Whatever. Yeah, they're pissy. They're like, what the fuck is your problem? No, why are you being a baby?
When they got the fire department there, those some bitches coming off that truck look like Chippendales.
Not for me, they didn't.
And after that, not for you. Well, no.
No, not
oh,
for
no,
me.
That was the woman that fell. That's right.
Yeah.
That was the woman that
they
fell
They said
off the
generic
the step,
crew
yeah.
after...
Yeah. Yeah. I get all these guys that are like... They're like, you better lift your fat ass up there.
They got like 3 weeks to retire.
I've got back problems, bitch.
Exactly.
I got back problems.
Exactly. You better get your ass up on this gurney because we sure as shit can't lift you up
You think
there.
You got problems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's what
I
hear.
To me, I'm not,
and that's what I had to hear the whole way to the hospital was about their problems. So, you know, life isn't fair.
Even the fireman said to Brandy, I got 99 problems, but this bitch ain't
this bitch ain't one. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Timmy, I know on this show we don't typically like to get political, but I had a little run-in this week that I was not happy with. I just had to have a routine thing done, you know, and I go in, just, you know, your normal MRI.
Yeah.
And I go in, and the woman says to me, so your payment today is $1,200 after insurance.
Right.
Oh, fuck.
And I said, okay, you know, okay. And then I didn't like the way she said it to me, and it just didn't sit well with me. And I said, what if I don't have the $1,200? And she said, well, we have to have payment at time of service. I said, so what you're telling me is no payment, no service. And she said, well, I mean, we have to have payment. I said, why don't you just say to me, for those who cannot afford to pay this $1,200,
you're
going to deny them medical care and send them home. And she said, well, sir, I don't make the policies.
Well,
and I said, but do you see the lack of ethics and compassion that such a system is built on?
Yeah.
So any sumbitch that ever comes up to me and says, anybody can get medical care in this country, I'm going to punch you in the goddamn throat.
I've gotten a couple of those.
If
like,
you got $1,200?
Yeah, for surgery where they're like, can you prepay? I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What do you how do you know how much it's going to be? What do you mean you want me to prepay? Running through my insurance. I don't understand that. I don't want to prepay.
The system is broken, sadly.
Right.
Well, Renee just, of course, I have a health savings card. And Renee said, Joe, just give her your health savings. And I was like, you're missing my goddamn point.
She doesn't care, though. She knows your point.
This girl's
going to
turn
care.
Me away if I don't have the goddamn money. So clearly a doctor says you should have this done.
You would have just not got it. You would just went not have received the test.
Right. And I just had to voice my... So I don't think they made the procedure as pleasant as it could have been, but...
But you know what?
That's a lesson in that.
You're making friends everywhere you go, aren't you?
But Charles, the most important part you left out is you had the finger up the butt test.
I did. That was no fun.
Did you feel violated?
I think it makes you gay now.
He's the gay.
Not if it's only
He's
one time,
gay.
Devil. Not if it's only one time.
You know, I did that.
Is this your first time?
No, it was my. It's. I'm of a certain age.
Okay,
well,
so
I,
it's been. Wait a minute.
Wait.
So it's been more than once. Mm-hmm.
Oh, when I got my vasectomy, I had to have it done too.
Well, I only had it done once, but. And my doctor says, he puts the glove on and he says, we're going to do this military style. Well, first of all, I never served in the military, so I don't know what the fuck he's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
He says, so you just put pressure down. So you're basically like his finger and you just ride it, right? You just sit down on it.
Exactly.
And this motherfucker says, he's having a hard time pushing his finger through and he says, man, you're tight. You're tight. What the fuck are you supposed to respond to? How are you supposed to respond to that?
You like, can say that's not even the first time I've heard that this week. That's what you say.
I mean, do you say, well, thank you? I mean,
Well, it's going to cost you extra, bitch.
Well, and did you also tell him, be careful, there's a diamond
out
there?
Okay, I have to have this. But let's not talk during it.
You don't
you know
want
what
the
I mean?
Commentary?
You know what I mean? No, let's just pretend it never happened. You know, do it quick. Well, pretend it never happened.
You put a lump of coal up there. So if he's, you know, if he's up there, look for the diamond. That's what you should have told him.
Here's the thing that
car,
nobody talks about.
If you find car keys, you can drive out, right?
That's right.
As if,
that's right.
As if, here's the thing that nobody talks about, that's never discussed.
Oh, my God.
Is that there's a thing. And it's in my book under, you know, fetishes and other.
No.
Prostate massage.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
make toys
thing.
For it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, let's start. I don't want to hear any more of that.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's true. I mean, like.
I get it.
Just
do I
that.
Do. I get it. But unless you all want to hear every gory detail of my latest pap smear, we're going to start talking about
No,
Cleveland.
I'm just saying it can cause, that finger on a prostate can cause a reflexive action in a man.
Yes.
That makes that indicates that said man is enjoying that finger.
Let me tell you something.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, let me tell you something. So, you know, Twitter is a hellscape that I love. And there's a thing going on there now where guys are saying that they're not washing their butthole because it would make them gay. So all these guys are just walking around with mud butt because they don't wash their butthole in the shower.
I keep getting ads for this product called Loom.
Yeah.
And it's about
that stuff's awesome.
It's a butthole cleaner. Yeah.
A butthole cleaner? Wait a minute.
Not. There's a product, I think it's called Loom, and it's you clean your nether regions with it.
Okay, because there's a thing called Lumi, and it's like body deodorant.
Oh, no, it's not Lumi. It's Loom, L-U-M-E. Look it up.
Oh, well, no, I'm good. I don't
write
need
that
to
down, Charlie.
Clean
well,
my
I mean,
butthole.
You're not going to see the ad. I mean, it's like in all of my feeds, so it must be trying to tell me something.
Clean your
it's
butthole.
Loom.
Well,
yeah, they do make other products, Brandy, but they have one specifically for your derriere.
Okay. Yeah, they got
Logan moved out, got his own apartment, and you know the first thing he purchased, Timmy?
What's that?
Was the add-on bidet.
Oh, yeah.
The toilet.
Can't blame
because
him there.
We have one here, and he, you know, he thought
his tush is used to
know,
it.
This, yeah.
Be yeah. good to your tush.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be good to you.
It will be good to you. Yeah.
That's been my motto. All right, let's get on with the story.
Okay.
Because you know, some people apparently listen to this podcast, hear the story. I don't know why they would. But let's talk about it, because it is an interesting story. It was submitted again by our good friend Jason Dykes. So thank you, Jason. The Cleveland Clinic fires. The Cleveland Clinic fire was a major fire at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. By the way, the lovely Leanne and I are going to go to Cleveland in May to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, fun.
Oh, that would be nice.
But this occurred on May the 15th, 1929. If she's going anywhere with me again, because we went to... Well, first of all, we went to a baseball game earlier this week, and we were going in a parking garage, and there was some asshole behind us honking his horn because we couldn't find a spot. Then we found a spot. They just floored it and went right behind us, and then I may have yelled at them.
Oh, no.
And then yesterday we went to Georgetown, Ohio. It was a lovely small town. They were having a presentation on General Grant. It was General Grant days. And it was a two-hour presentation, and they mentioned slavery a grand total of one time at the very end.
Of course.
So I get on their Facebook group, and then I blast them for it, and then the lady responds, and she's so nice, probably this little old lady or something, you know, some volunteer.
Lab, yeah.
And I felt really bad afterwards, so I got to make a donation to them today. So if Leanne is still talking to me, we're going to Cleveland in May. But on May 15th,
well, how'd the ladies get around the slavery on it?
Well, she was saying that they do different aspects of Grant's life, and this was about his relationship with Lincoln. And my point was, how can you celebrate U.S. Grant's life without mentioning, you know, his greatest accomplishment?
You know what, though? I've wondered, did Ulysses S. Grant light a fire at the Cleveland Clinic?
Not that I know of.
He could
have. Okay, then.
You don't
that
know.
Was probably Sherman.
Okay, so let's talk about the Cleveland Clinic, then. I would love to get out of the first paragraph before the half-hour mark.
The Cleveland Clinic fire was a major fire at Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, on May the 15th, 1929. The 123 people died during that fire, most of them killed by toxic inhalation. On Wednesday, May 15th, 1929, that's a lovely time of year, Brandon. It's right after our birthdays in the spring, and it's really nice that time of year here. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Cleveland, but Our birthdays are coming up, Randy, by the way.
I know.
The four-story clinic building is on Euclid Avenue, held an estimated 250 physicians, nurses, employees, and patients. A steam leak had been discovered in a sub-basement room where the clinic's x-ray film records were kept. This is nitrocelluloid film was developed by the Eastman Kodak Company during the late 1800s for use in x-rays as well as the motion picture industry. The Eastman Kodak Company Nirate film gained a reputation for being highly volatile, unstable, and extremely flammable. The clinic held somewhere between 4,000 to 10,000 pounds of this unstable film near the mechanical room. And I already tell you right now, it's not going to end well. But
it doesn't.
At 9 a.m. on May the 15th, a steam fitter named Buffery Boggs. Now, that's a name for you. Buffery Boggs, Brandy.
Okay. Sure.
Sounds like a clown on a kid show.
How would you describe, just by name only, Brandy, how would you describe Buffery Boggs?
Hobo rape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
He began repairs by stripping off some of the insulations from the steam pipes in the film room. Then he left the building to turn off the steam and allow the pipes to cool down so that the repairs could be completed safely. Well, old Buffley. At 11 a.m., Buffley Boggs returned to the basement room where he encountered a poisonous cloud of yellow-brown gas. You know, and sometimes that's just after breakfast. I mean, just after lunch. And if you, you know, if you're going to the Crackle Barrel. After a futile attempt to control the fire. Yeah, man, when you hear the words futile attempt and fire, it's not going to end well. After a futile attempt to control the fire with the fire extinguisher, a small explosion blew Buffery out the door into the machine room, saving his life. But causing him some, you know, contusions at the very least.
Abrasions,
As he and a maintenance man were crawling out a basement window, a second explosion occurred. They survived and raised the alarm. Well, good thing that Buffery survived that, Randy.
Thank God.
A later investigation by the National Board of Fire Underwriters would consider three possibilities for the X-ray room, or the I'm sorry, the X-ray film would ignite at 275 degrees Fahrenheit. So
that's a problem.
The second possibility was a discarded, not fully extinguished cigarette. Well, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I bet it was Buffery then. He was probably smoking down there.
Probably.
Smoking and talking about sex.
Ugh, gross.
The third possible reason was the most widely accepted theory was an accidental contact from one of many bare hanging light bulbs in the room. Oh, yeah. I had a little apartment like that, Colonel, where I had just a little bare light bulb hanging over my bed.
Yeah.
I had a little wash basin in my room, and
I think that was a jail cell.
I have there is.
Yeah, you might be right.
The toilet sink combo should have given that away. but I have a question. How does some of that how does that get up to touch a light bulb?
I don't know.
That nitrocellulose film. How does that, I mean, I would think they'd know if the guy said, yeah, I held some of it up, it hit a light bulb and exploded.
I don't know if it's...
So
yeah,
I don't understand accidental contact.
Yeah.
Because there should be no reason for that. But go ahead, sorry.
Well, unless they're like stacked, you know, like, you know, they're like stacked up to the ceiling or something. I don't know. They said they seemed to have a lot of it, didn't they? So if it was.
Yeah, but still, that'd have to be pretty fucking high.
The explosions forced deadly fumes at a high rate of pressure into the pipe tunnel system and up the pipe chassis, which are sub-tunnels off the main tunnel.
Side question.
Into nearly every room of every floor of the hospital almost immediately. So all these people around the hospital, they're in these rooms, and these fumes are coming through, you know, the pipes.
Sure.
A stair door on the third floor was held open by a latch, and the toxic gas was especially thick on the third floor. Later, chemical analysis suggested that the victims inhaled, I'm probably going to spell this. I'm sorry for
Phosgene?
Phosgene? Yeah. Which had been used as a chemical weapon during the First World War. That phosgene, carbon monoxide, nitric peroxide, and methyl chloride. Yeah. The toxic vapors caught most of the victims by surprise. I'm sure it did. I mean, sure, yeah. Wasn't expecting it. Oh, we're just waiting for the toxic vapors to arrive.
To just come and take me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It caught most of them by surprise. And as several doctors and nurses collapsed at their desk all at once, while the others managed a step or two into their escape before kneeling over and dying. God, that must have been a fucking horror show.
Well, not only that, like, then where do you take them? Like, if somebody so where do you
take them? To the hospital.
Right. This is in the 20s. There weren't hospitals up the road.
Right. Further complicating the situation, nitrocellulose film continues
cellulose.
To burn.
Nitrocellulose. Yeah.
Nitrocellulose film continues to burn even while immersed in water.
Oh, that's cool.
And fighting the fire simply causes more poisonous smoke to spread through the pipe and air duct system. So grabbing a bucket and tossing it on this shit ain't going to do
it. It's still
going to...
That's
shit's
cool,
still going to kill you.
I know, but it's cool. Wouldn't it be cool?
It's like a zombie or something. It just keeps more and more.
Right, just keeps going.
A report issued by the National Fire Protection Association, or NFPA, as those of us in the field would call it.
In the know, sure.
In wake of the disaster, stated, the most diabolical cunning could scarcely have devised an arrangement more surely calculated to spread death throughout the building. So they came right out, took a stand on this. The rear stairwell was cut off by flames, and for most people, most people attempted to exit the front stairwell, where the largest number of bodies were recovered. So they tried to get out the other way.
Oh my God!
That must have been a fucking nightmare to witness.
Seriously,
a nearby fire was the first. A nearby fire company was the first to respond. When they arrived, most of the building was obscured by a dense yellow-brown cloud. So, it's like they're running into mustard gas, basically. More alarms brought more firefighting equipment and rescue squads. Two firefighters did try to enter with gas masks, but the concentrations of fumes were too much for their equipment. Later, ladders were raised to evacuate people who appeared at the window. The thick cloud of smoke and toxic gas kept firefighters from seeing the third or fourth floor windows. You know what this kind of reminds me of is the Our Lady of Angels.
That shirtwaist fireplace. Remember that one?
What?
Remember the shirt?
Yeah, the short waist. Fire. Yeah, I was thinking of that story we did about in Chicago, the Our Lady of Angels school.
Oh, God. Fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
wow. I mean, it wasn't fumes, yeah. But it was, you know, yeah. Still such a disaster. So, Brandy, you want to take it from this point, or you want me to get on? Okay.
All right. So, 8 minutes after the fire companies first arrived, a huge explosion blew parts of the roof off the building, causing much of the gas and smoke inside the building to clear.
Oh, it must have been just like a, you know, like a kettle
pressure cooker.
Yeah, it just blew it off.
Yeah, so this revealed to the horrified firefighters just how many people were crowded at the third and fourth floor windows. Every ladder available immediately swung into action to rescue occupants of these two floors. By 1:15, everyone had been removed from the building and most of the fire was out. A few of the victims were miraculously able to escape the hospital, rescued by firemen, policemen, or volunteers. Unfortunately, anyone who had inadvertently inhaled any quantity of the fumes succumbed to and died from the toxic vapor. Some soon after, and others not for several days. Oh, God.
Oh, and you know you're laying in bed, can't breathe for
God, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
It's been reported by dozens of witnesses that the bodies of the first victims turned yellow and later green after being brought out of the building. Jesus. That's not good.
Oh, my God. I'm not jaundiced, I promise.
Yeah, that seems weird. The heroism of caregivers, firefighters, police officers, and many volunteers saved dozens of lives. An impromptu triage was carried out on the grass in front of the building. Many of the physicians on the scene, including George Creel Sr., MD, recognized the injuries as similar to what they'd witnessed in World War I, in which poison gas caused a highly fatal lung edema, filling victims' lungs with too much fluid.
You know, Brandy, the I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah, George Creel Sr., MD, I wonder if he had a junior. I wonder if he had a son, and what did he do in his life?
Oh, I don't care about that guy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right. So Edith Morgan was a nurse and receptionist in the main waiting area.
She was not good looking with the name Edith, Colonel.
You know what? She might have been, though. She might have been drop dead gorgeous in her little nurse uniform sitting up there waiting to welcome people in.
With her thong bikinis underneath. Do you like the little nurse look, Colonel? Is that one of your
Wait a minute. Here's
fantasies?
The thing. We're not going to rag on Edith because Edith is a hero here.
Well, so I'm just saying she's probably not the most attractive woman. That's all.
So she
I praise her for her efforts and thank you for your service, Edith. But you know,
yeah. So Edith,
get some Botox or something. But go ahead.
Wow. So Edith is just trying to get people out because she's right there by the front door. So she's trying to get people out, and she later reported to the hospital building where she continued to help and care for victims until she collapsed.
All right. Thank you, Edith. That was very nice of you.
Exactly. William Brownlow.
Thank you for your service, Edith.
Yes.
Yeah, thank
William
you for
Brownlow
service.
Had taken the day off, but went into the Cleveland Clinic to retrieve a forgotten item. While he was there, the main explosion occurred. He stayed to help, smashing a window on the third floor to get people out to a ladder. Despite these rescue efforts, he had breathed in the fumes and he died. Telephone reporter Gladys Gibson died at her desk with cords on her switchboard plugged into lines throughout the building. She had remained at her post to alert others to the emergency when she could have easily escaped through a window only a few feet away.
Oh, Gladys, man.
Oh.
Gladys. Yeah. You got
Gladys
Edith
probably
and
wasn't
you got Gladys.
Edith and Gladys. It just doesn't seem like they're going to put a good plan together.
You know they got those little black glasses at the point with the snake, little pointy ends.
So I know this is super, super unprofessional, but I have to run to the bathroom.
Okay,
so
well, let me, while
yourselves.
You're gone, I need to bring something up with the Colonel anyway, where you're gone. So Colonel, you know, the lovely Leanne is here, and we're living as man and wife.
Yes.
And she has this wonderful cat named Spartacus, but Colonel, he's a cock blocker. He won't let me kiss Leanne. He won't let me hold her hand. I mean, what do you do, well, Colonel, when, you know, yeah, I know you wrote the book, How to Make Love to a Woman, but what do you do when you have a pet that is a cock blocker?
Well, you know, having Rudy around, I've encountered the same thing, only Rudy's 60 pounds.
Yeah.
So he can be more effective, although cats are subtle. Cats are subtle.
Oh, he gives, so he gives us the death stare. If we're like holding hands, he gives us a death stare. You know, we, you know, I hug her at night or whatever, and he gets, just gives, well, us a death. So I'd be interested in any advice you could give me besides, you know, doing away with the cat.
Well, you got to remember, Timmy, this is a loyalist cat you're talking about.
Oh, that's true. It's true.
Yeah. So you got to approach it differently than other cats.
So, you know, you can't.
Because this cat, you know how cats are assholes anyway. They think they're superior.
Right.
They think they're better.
Right.
Well, now, add being a Brit to that, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have a cat that just thinks, he's going to look at your cat and think, ah, you soddy little American rebel cat.
Yeah.
And, you know, while your cat accepts his place as a cat, this cat is not going to do that.
Right.
So what you got to do, Timmy, what you got to do is when you're having, feeling a little affectionate toward
the lovely, yeah,
start to pet the cat as he gets close, but then flick him right on top of the head when the ant can't see it.
I don't want to hurt him, Colonel.
It won't hurt him. It'll stun him a little bit, but it won't hurt him. It'll just sting a little bit.
All
right. Or you know what you get, Timmy?
Yeah.
You get on Amazon, and you look for the dainty little shock collars that are for correcting cats.
God.
And you keep the little button in your pocket, and when the cat gets too close, you just hit the button. And it doesn't hurt the cat. It's just like, you know, you're walking across the carpet. You know how you do that, and you touch metal, and it's a little...
A it's slight correction.
Like that. It ain't gonna,
a slight correction.
A slight correction is what we call it, yes. And you condition the cat to, oh, if I get within 2 feet of them while they're within 1 feet of each other,
yeah,
I'm going to get a shock. There's something, it makes the cat think there's something that when they're together creates a force field. And if I get too close, I'm going to get shocked.
Well, thank you for the advice, Colonel.
Don't flick the cat.
You know, he has the answers.
Or you just leave a bunch of treats in the corner, Tim.
Leanne's cat is cock-blocking me.
Oh, I know. I've had my ears in. Yeah, animals are like that. They don't care if you...
Does Lucy ever come between you and Dave?
Oh, my gosh. She hates it.
Making love?
No, because she... sleeps with Noah, but if I hug anyone, she doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's the way Spartacus.
And then she has to come over.
Well,
doesn't like it at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. Chuck is suggesting a slight correction with an electronic probe.
Don't flick the cat. Don't get anything. No. She'll get over it. She's in a new place.
Yeah, he's really done a great job, really. You know,
yeah.
The world changed.
He's in a new place. Now, he's not going back. How long is she staying?
We're going to England in September, and she has a 6-month visa. So we're going in September, and then she'll come back for another 6 months until her, you know, her spouse visa is approved, which would probably be about a year from now.
She's here for six. Oh, good. So I can come down and get her and go do fun things.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so we're
going
to get back to
the Tarjay.
Store. I will hire her. I mean, she wants to come to Lebanon or work at Tarjay.
Well, she can't. Brand. She has to get her green card first, but yeah, when that
happens. I'll take care of it. Okay, so anyway, all these people are in this hospital. It's been a pressure cooker. The roof blew off, and if you breathed any of the fumes, you died. That's where we are. Okay. So, 80 of the dead were either patients or visitors at the clinic, and the rest were employees. One of the Cleveland Clinic's founders, Dr. John Phillips, was among the dead. 2 days later, Dr. Creel was back in the operating room.
You see, he just shrugged it off.
Well,
yeah,
but Dr. Creel was in the big one.
Yeah, he was a senior. He was a senior.
Yeah,
I wonder if Junior. I wonder if Junior served in the Second World War.
I don't know, but I mean, this guy's not screwing around. He knows. He knows what's good. It's time to move on. People died. Moving on.
Yeah, turn the page.
Right. So when questioned by his wife Grace about this, he told her grief would be defeat. This has come to us, and we must build something constructive out of it.
Well, that's a nice outlook, really.
Yeah. After the disaster, community leaders quickly came to the aid of the Cleveland Clinic, which took up temporary quarters in a former dormitory across the street. Gifts totaling more than $30,000, which is the equivalent of $500,000 today, poured in to help rebuild. But Cleveland Clinic opted to return the money and finance its own recovery. However, I like how the Cleveland Clinic is just too fancy for that. No, we don't want your money.
We're gonna get it all back. Trust us.
We're gonna do this on our own, and then we'll charge you to come in and see us.
We're gonna charge people who's getting MRIs $1,200.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
Exactly. Don't worry about it. We got this.
Don't feel sorry for us.
Right.
We got you.
Yeah. Don't cry for us, Argentina.
Right.
All right. So the Cleveland Clinic officials were absolved of responsibility for the fire. And the $3 million in lawsuits filed because of the disaster were settled out of court for about $45,000. That's not even close.
Colonel, Leanne and I watched the movie Ray the other night, right about Ray Charles. Can you give us a little Ray Charles, Colonel?
We're almost there.
Georgia.
No.
How's that to me?
Why don't you go blindly, wander into traffic? All right, so
lovely, Colonel.
The city manager's commission investigating the fire recommended that Cleveland's police and fire departments be supplied with gas masks. They didn't work, but okay. And that multiple ambulance services be established to provide suitable transportation for emergency cases needing hospital care. On the national level, the clinic fire resulted in the development of new standards for storage and labeling of hazardous material, especially nitrocellulose film. Fire insurance companies also began to revise and strictly enforce safety regulations regarding the storage of such materials.
So, there was some good to come out of this disaster.
Sure. A lot of bad, but some good.
Whatever happened to Gladys and Edith?
They died.
Maybe they were a couple. And,
you know what? Gladys developed a little bit of a drinking problem later.
Did she?
And she did. And she actually retired to... She retired to Phoenix, and she lived with her cats until she died.
Okay.
And the other one, she, you know, had some stints in and out of rehab.
Gladys.
She had some stints in and out of rehab, but then, you know, at the end, she was just thankful that her kids were there by her, and, you know.
You know, Brandy, they lived good lives. The thing I like about you is you get a script, and then you do your own research.
That's what I'm saying.
And you find out about every aspect of the story. You know, it was a great script by Jason, but you took it to a different level, Brandy. Thank you.
As I do. I elevate.
And I'm going to tell you this, to me. This is it's a footnote in the book, but it's mentioned. You run across a woman named Gladys, a woman named Edith. And they're typically not going to be, you know, the woman you're physically drawn to, right?
Yeah.
But you get them out. You get them a little hopped up on a couple Bud Lights.
A little cocaine.
Dancing a little bit. A little cocaine. They're going to be just batshit crazy in bed, to me.
They're just happy. You know, you throw them a bone, they're just happy. Mm-hmm.
The only Gladys I ever knew ate cat food. So,
but you can't. They can't do that anymore. Fucking cat food's expensive.
Yeah, I know. It's cheaper to buy human food now.
I don't know, but that's what she did. She was fucking crazier than squirrel shit, nuttier than squirrel shit.
We had lunch at B-Dubs yesterday.
Of course she did.
Just two of us.
It was almost $40. Like 10 in the morning?
No.
Because they charge you breakfast prices if you go there that early.
But it was like $40.
$40 to me, if I could escape a diner for $40,
Jesus.
Apparently, I'm moving myself. I'm gradually getting used to the century I live in because we went out to dinner and it was my nieces and a number of people. And it was just that English pub up in Rookwood. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yes, Devil? I do.
We're going to go there for the coronation in a week or so.
Yeah, you get 6-7 people. And of course, you know, Jeff Bezos, who I'm, you know, betrothed to.
What the
always
fuck?
Says, no, just put it on one check. It was $350, Timmy.
Dude.
$350.
I took Dave to the grocery store, and he walked through like an old man yelling at the clouds. Why are these prices so high? What's happening? Because he had to go, like, I had always done the grocery shopping because I was home and whatever else. And so now that we're both home, we go to the grocery and he just, so I'm, you know, debating on whether or not that just is a practice that needs to end and I'll just go to the grocery by myself or
well, you know
what? I'm
going to
tell you this.
Stop eating.
Or that, which is also fine.
Because people are going on about food costs and inflation and whatnot. And you know what? This is a true story. I looked up. Do you know how much money? Do you know Kellogg's is making more money than they've ever made?
I'm not surprised.
You know,
surprised.
Companies keep saying
the cereal's $6
a
box.
Yeah, we have to pay our employees more, so we have to, you know, charge more for the products. No, motherfucker, you're profiteering, you're price gouging.
Fucking McDonald's.
That's what
McDonald's.
It is.
The French fries $3.49.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, Colonel. I don't like to put you on the spot, you know, because I would never do that. But there's been some rumors, and if you don't want to address them, that's fine. But there's been some rumors that you have not been invited to King Charles's coronation. Is that true?
To me, I've kind of sided with Harry in this whole thing.
Okay. So you're going to hang out and watch it on TV with Harry and Meghan?
Yeah. And I, you know, because out of all the royals, Meghan's the hot one.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. Meghan's the hot one.
Yeah.
And
her nose is funny, but yeah, she's very attractive.
A little bit. But I like a little bit of a flaw in a woman.
Okay.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah.
A wee bit. I don't, you know. I don't want Quasimodo now.
Hold on, right. My eyes. Right. Hold on, I've rolled my eyes out on the porch. Just give me a few minutes to deal with that.
I think, Brandy, it's safe to say that Mrs. Colonel is okay with imperfection, too.
Jesus. Mrs. Colonel took a Rorschach drawing and married it. Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I did not get, because, you know, when I was on Oprah, to me, I, promoting my book.
Oprah.
That subject came up.
Did you get a car?
And
fuck no, he didn't get a car. Oprah
Timmy,
didn't like him.
I didn't get a car. I told Oprah I didn't want her car. I told Oprah I had no need for her charity. My book was doing just
He's
fine.
He's the Cleveland Clinic of this podcast.
Exactly.
So, Charles, what did you think about the Cleveland Clinic fire?
I thought it was hot, hot, hot.
Amazingly insightful.
You know what? I think it's another one of those things, and here's why I'm
if you could just answer a question.
We don't hold
like
people responsible.
The shit.
I mean, I don't know why it surprised people. Look at Cleveland. Cleveland is like the armpit of Ohio.
Yeah, they got torsos in the river. They got rivers catching on fire.
Listen.
But they can't go in and retrieve them because the river's on fire, Timmy.
Right. But did you forget that Toledo was also in Ohio? Because I feel
Toledo's the asshole of Ohio.
Toledo, yeah.
Cleveland's armpit because they got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they got a decent baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so you got to give them that.
I don't have to give anybody anything. But Timmy.
Yes.
What did you think about the Cleveland Clinic?
I
fire.
Fucked up story. I've never heard it before, but that would have been fucking horrific to live through.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially since you don't know why.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't,
and you're just breathing. You're just walking around breathing, and then you can't.
Yeah, that would be
pretty
fucking
awful. It catches your lungs on fire, too. That's great.
That would be.
But we thank Jason awful. Jason Dykes, who
absolutely.
It was a wonderful script, Jason. Thank you very much. We would like to thank all of you who support this podcast on Patreon. If you would like to support this podcast on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or, Colonel?
Or just a tip, Timmy. Yeah, I promise. Just
that is
tip,
history, just that is patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word. Next week, we'll give shout-outs to everyone who support us on Patreon. So if you want to hear your name on this much-beloved podcast, throw us a couple bucks, and we will make you famous.
Yeah.
Damn right we will.
Infamous.
Infamous. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Be good to your tush.
I was, I was thinking about that. And fuck off. How about that? Okay.
I'm gonna punch you in the goddamn door.
There's hookers that just do that.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.